All right, and for Sean Pendergast, I'm Sean Bajani. Seth Payne here as well. Hit us up, 713-572-4610. You can text 572-4610. Seth, take a little trip around the NFL, and we'll start with the Pittsburgh Steelers. They had themselves a day yesterday. And, you know, I saw a tweet earlier this morning from the Dan Patrick Show. They were asking the question, like, boy, who had the better day yesterday, the Houston Rockets or the Pittsburgh Steelers? And so think about that as we go through this a little bit.
I think the difference would be, just in canvassing how Steelers fans are feeling about this trade, where they pick up Jalen Ramsey and tight end Jonnu Smith. Steelers fans, they seem very skeptical though to me, because they don't, first of all, they don't trust Arthur Smith, the offensive coordinator, to do anything with Jonnu Smith. He's as much as Arthur Smith loves Jonnu Smith from their time together in Tennessee, but Jonnu Smith is was a more productive player and in a lot of ways a more exciting player and was used more heavily with Miami. So they're skeptical of Arthur Smith. He loves to play with multiple tight ends, plays with three tight ends on the field more than any other team in the league, and yet averages like 2.4 yards per carry out of those plays, or 2.4 yards per play out of those plays. So people are skeptical about it. The Jalen Ramsey side of it is interesting because Jalen Ramsey is still playing very good football, but you wonder exactly what are they going to look like in the backfield. They ship out Minkah Fitzpatrick, a safety. There's a chance that Jalen Ramsey gets used some as a safety or at times just in playing with some of the more unconventional backfield personnel groupings.
Yeah.
That he doesn't necessarily have to be a slot corner to be out there. That they're going to figure out a way to use Jalen Ramsey, and their pass defense needs it. I think people are just more skeptical that this offense with Aaron Rodgers at the helm, Arthur Smith as their offensive coordinator, and whatever assortment of weaponry they have, that it doesn't feel like, oh yeah, here you go, you're off to the races now.
So some of the other nuts and bolts in the trade that we're talking about, where the Dolphins agreed to trade All-Pro corner Jalen Ramsey, tight end Jonnu Smith to the Steelers. In exchange for All-Pro Minkah Fitzpatrick, as part of that deal, which, of course, like everyone else, is pending physicals, the Dolphins sending a 2027 seventh-round pick to the Steelers and receive a 2027 fifth-round pick back from Pittsburgh. They made that deal. Is some of the trepidation about, okay, the usage of Jonnu Smith or Arthur Smith not exactly knowing how to employ this, like, isn't that curious? Like, in a league, correct me if I'm wrong, but league-wide, generally speaking, teams are using more, two tight end sets where, like, if you're looking at this and you just brought in Aaron Rodgers, like, how has he functioned in his career, with that personnel on the field? And is that something that maybe makes you feel a little bit better? If you're
Aaron Rodgers has been a guy that's been notorious for just hating the run game. And that's the biggest mystery about this is, all right, how does Aaron Rodgers genuinely buy into this system that's a lot different from how they've operated in the past and really just latch into, okay, if we run this system, it makes it easier for me as a quarterback and we're going to rely heavily on the play action and all of that. That's really the big leap that Aaron Rodgers needs to take. And he played with a hand-selected, awful offensive coordinator in Nathaniel Hackett with the Jets. There were always stories that he and Mike McCarthy just didn't see eye to eye on things, and Aaron was checking into plays that McCarthy didn't even know were in the playbook. Like, all of this. Aaron Rodgers is saying all the right things right now, but to just change his stripes that drastically, theoretically, it should work. Arthur Smith is the type of offensive coordinator you would like to have for an older quarterback where you can minimize exactly how much he needs to create. It's just a question of whether is Aaron Rodgers genuinely going to be that guy all of a sudden for the first time in his life.
Yeah, interesting. All right, keeping it with the Steelers, saw this report yesterday per Adam Schefter. The Steelers apparently about to get bombarded with trade proposals for TJ Watt. Here's the report from Schefter. In recent weeks, multiple teams have been discussing whether they can trade for Steelers standout TJ Watt, who skipped the team's most recent minicamp. Pittsburgh hasn't shown any willingness to deal Watt so far, but he's unhappy with his contractual situation, and sources believe outside team interest is likely to increase given today's trade. Do you think at all, before we kind of get into the nuts and bolts of this Watt drama that maybe is building or not, do you think that this is just a situation, maybe even a lack of communication where, hey, you know, the Steelers, they've got other things they need to take care of, like via this trade and maybe making salaries fit before they, you know, commit something to TJ Watt?
I don't know. I don't know how much of it is TJ Watt being unhappy with his contract or just unhappy with just life in Pittsburgh and doesn't trust that the organization is gonna go where he wants it to go.
Yeah.
And I'm sure he wants to get a new payday out of it as well. I don't, the Steelers have operated so far outside the realm of how they typically operate that, and they feel, this is the first time I can really think that the Steelers look like they're in desperation mode. That you're banking on a 40-year-old quarterback, that you trade for DK Metcalf, you trade now for Jalen Ramsey, and it's such a big departure from the way that they used to operate. The way they used to, would they just go ahead and say goodbye to TJ Watt or accept his trade request as they're also bringing Jalen Ramsey in? I think most likely they're going to end up paying him at some point. And yeah, like you had alluded to,
yeah,
there's a lot of, they got to get their ducks in a row in a lot of respects. But if CJ, but then that's where we'll learn whether TJ is genuinely just wants a new contract or if maybe he feels he's on a sinking ship and he wants to go to a more competitive team.
Yeah, just my reaction to that Schefter report was like, well, it doesn't mean they're going to deal him. Like, there's a lot of phone calls that I wish, you know, general managers would make to inquire about certain players. It doesn't mean that that's going to be reciprocated. Like, yeah, well, let me hear your offer. Let's see what you got. You know, give me your best offer. No, you're not making this deal like the Pittsburgh Steelers yesterday if, in fact, you're now looking to offload your best defensive player.
Yeah,
in an offseason that you just signed Aaron Rodgers.
Unless they think it's a foregone conclusion or something and they just don't want to deal with it. Maybe. I don't know. I'm so far beyond like thinking I know what's going to happen or not happen with trades anymore, because the NFL has just been, they've operated like a different league. Like, I guess it makes sense that the Steelers are operating differently than they used to, because the number of kind of jaw-dropping trades that previously wouldn't have happened, it's more and more common now.
Yeah, I was listening to Maggie and Perloff, who's on before us this morning. They were asking the question, is this a Super Bowl or bust year for the Pittsburgh Steelers? And I was like, that's kind of a curious question. I don't know how to really digest that, but I thought, like, it's damn sure like a win a playoff game or bust season, it feels like, for Mike Tomlin, because this is a guy who hadn't won a playoff game, I don't think, since 2016.
Yeah, this is a show me some kind of life or progress, like Super Bowl or bust. No, there's nobody.
You're smoking that Aaron Rodgers peace pipe again, man. I don't know what else would cause you to ask that question.
The odds on the Steelers winning the Super Bowl right now are somewhere down right around the middle of the pack or so. And it's not like the moves that they made are, like, signing Aaron Rodgers isn't a Super Bowl or bust type of move. That's a grasping at straws. Yeah, hopefully we get some version of him that we haven't seen since several years ago when he was still in his 30s. And maybe it works out, but it's not. This is Tom Brady continuing to kill the rest of the league. Like, just Tom Brady was looking like he was on the downside of his career in New England, his last year in New England, because they didn't have any weaponry around him whatsoever. And somehow, because he went and did what he did in Tampa Bay with Mike Evans and Chris Godwin, by the way, alongside him, this is not the same as signing Tom Brady. This is a completely different scenario.
Yeah, it's just listening to the argument. Like, well, you don't sign Aaron Rodgers in an offseason if you're not trying to win a Super Bowl. You don't make the trade you did yesterday if you're not trying to win a Super Bowl. My only thought was, is like, you're not tiptoeing around the idea that hemming and hawing over paying your best defensive player in an offseason that you're trying to win a Super Bowl. You either put up or you shut up, and never mind, you know, Mike Tomlin. I don't know what to believe anymore, like, in terms of, like, control. If this is like, hey, you know, you've complained about not having a quarterback here or not having this there, here's an offseason where we got you the quarterback. You know, we're going to swing this deal, make your defense better. And, oh, by the way, we're going to, you know, play patty cake with the idea that we're going to commit long term to TJ Watt or not.
No, they're stuck in that purgatory of the mediocre team, like the above average team, the fringe playoff team, where you don't have that much salary cap flexibility. It doesn't feel like it's time for a hard reset, and yet there's only so much you can do until you find your quarterback.
Yeah,
and they're just that's where they've gotten into the mode of kind of where the Colts have been as of late, where they've had some good rosters, but it really means nothing if you can't find the quarterback for it.
Well,
I think they've done a great job in previous, like in the last decade at various times, of putting together some really good Colts rosters, except for the small detail of who's playing quarterback.
There's one thing in the back of my mind that gives me pause about wondering if TJ Watt is long for Pittsburgh or not, and that's because he had an opportunity to watch JJ Watt here with the Texans in kind of a similar situation as it is now, where Pittsburgh, look, they're going to the postseason. I think they've gone to the postseason 5 out of the last 8 years, but they don't win playoff games. And, okay, finding a quarterback, do you think you got that guy? Maybe you don't have that guy. What was the story for, in large part, J.J. Watt's time as a Houston Texan? It was like you had a pretty good roster around him, but it wasn't good enough. You win divisions, but, you know, you were bounced out in the first round. Like, you couldn't get over that hump. Maybe TJ's thinking like, boy, am I stuck in like mediocrity, kind of like my brother was, you know, all those years in Houston?
Yeah, I think the difference is in terms of winning the battle of public opinion, JJ was also, when he ended up leaving, it was, well, Jack Easterby was still in control of a lot of things. It was just a completely dysfunctional and decrepit organization. So that was when everybody was in the mode of like, yeah, anybody would want to get out of whatever the hell's going on here. Whereas TJ, I don't think the sentiment is that overwhelmingly anti-Steelers the way it was anti-Texans when JJ, you know, either agreed to or forced his way out.
Yeah, well, yeah, times were very tenuous at that point in time with the Texans.
I would say, man, if I were TJ, it's easy to say what I would do if I were another person. There is something about being a Steeler for life that's different than a lot of other franchises. And for him, it just feels like, yes, the contract might be an issue, but it's definitely fueled probably by that. All right, he would never say it publicly, but maybe he doesn't believe in either the management, or he doesn't believe that Mike Tomlin's a guy to get him over the hump. That's got to factor into it at least a little bit.
What other organizations would you say something similar about, like Green Bay, as you said, Pittsburgh, being a Steeler for life? Would you have that same feeling if you were a Packer?
The Green Bay, yeah, definitely. Except that, you know, like Green Bay is not as much a fun a city to visit as Pittsburgh is. The Raiders, the Raiders for sure.
Yeah,
it's different, and even, but it's not the same as like a 49ers. I'm thinking about some of the all-time great franchises.
Yeah, it'd be a historic franchise.
Super Bowl wins and everything. Mm-hmm. There's something about the mystique about it. Cowboys, obviously, the Cowboys are just different in a lot of regards, but.
Yeah,
it's hard to be a lifelong cowboy without being wrapped up in at least 3 scandals, though.
Well, there's that, but maybe once upon a time it used to be that way, unless Jerry's, you know, driving you crazy and you want to get the hell out of Dodge.
Did you see the trailer for the Cowboys documentary they're doing on Netflix?
Oh no, I forgot about that. Actually,
it doesn't. Oh. It looks like it's going to be all about the glory days, at least from the trailer, and it definitely looks like it's endorsed by Jerry Jones. So I don't expect there to be much juiciness. I don't think there's going to be anything in it that we've, because Jerry Jones is in it a bunch, and with these Netflix documentaries, once the head honchos are involved in the documentary, you're not going to get any of the dirt. Like when they did the University of Florida one, as soon as I saw Urban Meyer on the trailer, I was like, oh, okay. There's not going to be any of the really juicy stuff. They're gonna kind of gloss over.
Yeah, that's fair. I did enjoy that one though. That was kind of cool. All right, final segment coming up next. We'll talk to the guys from In the Loop, Reggie Atatula and Chris Partee, again in with Reggie in for John Lopez today. We'll have that conversation with those guys and baseball and their unwritten rules. Seth, even the Astros didn't know about this one. I'll have it for you next.